Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. Let me invite you to join our MS forums. We have over 1,000 active members discussing common themes and sharing their experience on living with multiple sclerosis. Please consider joining. You can find the link to the MS News Today forums in this episode's description. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast. I am your host, Jen Powell. Joining us today is a remarkable individual and MS advocate, Michael Weiss. After a frustrating diagnostic process, Michael wanted to get involved in the MS community, and since his diagnosis, he has participated on many levels, including Master of Ceremonies at the MS Society's National Leadership Conference in 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2018, raised over $700,000 to date for various MS organizations through diverse fundraising efforts, patient ambassador and MC for multiple events for both the National MS Society and the MSAA Board of Trustees for the New Jersey chapter of the National MS Society, and team lead and or member for the National MS Society Goal Steering Committees. Currently, Michael is a member of the NARCOM's Patient Advisory Board and is incredibly excited about his work as a patient ambassador and advisory board member with MS for MS, which stands for Mission Stadiums for Multiple Sclerosis. My goodness. Welcome, Michael. How do you have time to be here?
I'm telling you, I just have to take a little time off from my day job too to fill this spot. But thank you for having me, and thank you. I know I sent you that information, but thank you for reading it. And I guess I've done a little bit over the years.
You have, and I commend you. I wanted to let everyone know, Michael and I were just speaking off before we started taping about these amazing accomplishments and what they mean to us as people with MS. Do you mind, before we jump in with your diagnosis, maybe letting our listeners know what you told me about what doing things for the MS community does for you?
Yeah, sure. No, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, so much of living with this disease is dealing with the loss of control, whether it's immediate onset loss of control or sporadic loss of control. There's always a loss of control involved. And for me, giving back to the community and a lot of the advocacy work that I do is just my way of being able to take back a little bit of control and you know, not only for myself, but hopefully giving a little control back to folks newly diagnosed or just coming into the MS community.
And what have you found with the newly diagnosed community of today versus the newly diagnosed community of when we were diagnosed?
That's a great question. And it's so interesting. You know, I remember when I was diagnosed just prior to the MS Society's rebranding and that, you know, and so my initial outreach was to the MS Society after my diagnosis. And I remember a lot of the literature I got was a little depressing. And I think that was partly due to the branding and the look and feel of what they have, but it was also partly due to really the evolution of MS at the time. You know, medications, I was diagnosed in 2004, and I'm sure I think we're going to get to that. But, you know, at that point, medications had only been around for, you know, less than 10 years, and there were only a few of them. And so there weren't as much Again, going back to taking back control, there wasn't as much for patients to be able to do to take back that control from the medical side of things. And now newly diagnosed patients are, are presented with this a plethora of disease modifying therapies and different ways that they can help themselves. And going back to the MS Society and some of the other organizations, a lot of the information that's out there from these organizations is so much more positive and so much more, for a younger person, especially getting diagnosed with MS, there's so much more, and there are so many people now living longer into this disease with full mobility, and so it's a whole different world and a whole different attitude. I think when you get newly diagnosed, and at least, well, let me just say, there's the opportunity for a whole different opportunity and presentation once you get diagnosed. I think there's also a big difference just through technology, right? I think that, I mean, the availability, everything from telehealth appointments that weren't available when we were diagnosed to, the differences in diagnostic tools that are available that weren't there when we were diagnosed, to this like really wild world of healthcare influencers that are all over social media. I mean, it's really, it wasn't that long ago, but it's a different time.
I love that answer. I too called the National MS Society my first call, and it was before rebranding, right about rebranding and similar experience. And to now, I love the metamorphosis. I think it's very fitting and allows people to see possibilities because MS is a diagnosis. And it is the life ahead of you is much better expressed now online as opposed to your life is now here. So,
Yeah.
if you don't mind, would you tell me a little bit about you? You mentioned you were diagnosed in 2004 after many mysterious symptoms. That sounds very ominous, Michael. What were those mysterious symptoms?
Yeah, I think, and I think I'm sure many people listening to the podcast will have similar experiences, but I think before you have multiple sclerosis, everything is mysterious that you're going through, all of the numbing. So for me, it was numbing and tingling, which I think a lot of people experience as their first, onset of symptoms. And some of the stuff we were talking about prior to the call, spasming and muscles, muscle twitches and spasms, numbing and tingling and forgetfulness and fatigue. Those are the things that I remember the most. And I remember just thinking at the time that it's just some weird stuff going on with my body, and not even really thinking about it until over the course of a number of years, it really starting to ramp up and wreak a little havoc, I guess, in my life.
I understand some of these are so hard to verbally characterize to a healthcare professional. I have a feeling here. Does it exist? Yeah, it does to me, but is there something there? Is it numbness? Is it consistent? So, was your diagnostic journey and process relatively smooth? Did you find that from the time of these ominous symptoms to your actual diagnosis, you were able to get from point A to B easily?
I mean, easily, no. I got from point A to B via point, G
C,
and
D,
D and
D.
and so what you were just saying about how it's difficult to explain to a healthcare professional, it was difficult to even understand myself, thinking again, like maybe I just slept on my arm wrong or whatever. But then when I started going to doctors and really trying to find out if there what was going on, it was hard to explain, and again, I don't blame anybody or any of my previous doctors, but because I think this is very common, and I think it's something that needs to, I think, well, I think it's something that has been worked on and improved, but something that continues to need to get focus. I didn't at the time, there wasn't as much awareness of MS and MS symptoms as there is now. And so a lot of the times that I was explaining what was going on to my healthcare team, I was getting back looks that made me feel like, I don't know that they believe me, or perhaps I'm being viewed as the crazy patient who's just, making things up, or I mean, to the extent that I actually did have a doctor tell me that the symptoms that I was describing were, quote, physiologically impossible, and that I should maybe go get a massage and try and, relax and not be so stressed out.
Oh boy. I mean, oh, very good. I mean, those are the kinds of things, and like you said, it was a different era, it's a different time, but those comments are very harmful. They really do a number on our psyche when we're already very challenged by symptoms. We are even perseverating about are they real? Are they, what are they? And as we know, mental health challenges are very, they go side by side, and some even are physiological with multiple sclerosis, and candidly, myself having both. So, I just want to destigmatize that for anyone listening.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, before my diagnosis, I think, like many people, and I still feel this way a little bit, but I'm a little more proactive and an advocate for myself. But I think, like many of us, we held the healthcare professionals on a high, up on a pedestal, a little bit of a higher standard. And so when they tell you something, you take it to heart. And so ha between having the difficulty of identifying what I was going through, and then the difficulty of explaining what I was going through, then the feeling of having doctors maybe not believe what I was going through, and then to finally have a doctor tell me that these things were physiologically impossible and I should go get a massage, I got to the point where I was like, you know what? They're right. I'm probably a little crazy, and I'm just making all this stuff up, and it's just, it's whatever, stress related. And again, I mean, I think that's another reason why I wanted to get involved in the community and advocate for myself, but even more so for others, because it's easy to get caught up in my doctor knows everything.
Absolutely.
And just, yeah, so.
Yes, and the easy intimidation is there just by product of going to someone who knows something about this topic more than we do and has a time box for us. And my care team is our partners with me because they know now I come, but I give moments of intimidation. I go through moments of unknown when we progress. I think it's very natural, but to keep ourselves in that moment of being our own best advocate is the only way we are going to navigate. Which brings me to my next question. How soon after your diagnosis were you able to become this beast advocate? Now, let's step down from beast advocate. Let's say advocate, because we all know there's a difference between acceptance, which is a crazy word, because I think it's a kind of a daily acceptance of where we're at, right? But advocating, how did you get there, Michael?
It definitely it, in my mind, it was overnight. I always knew I wanted to dive in and really get involved in the MS community and do what I can. But in reality, it took a little while, and I'm so glad you said the acceptance part, because I whenever I would talk to groups of MS patients, or even conversations with individual people that are referred to me from friends who were just newly diagnosed, I always talk about this parallel between the steps of grieving and the grieving period when you're diagnosed with a chronic condition, and how it's completely normal and acceptable and understandable to go through all of these stages of anger and guilt, and then realizing that the key to it is just not getting stuck in any of those stages, and getting to that acceptance, or whatever that is. And then I always also talk about how the acceptance part is different for all of us, right? For me, it was, I tell this story. I used to wake up every single morning after my diagnosis and go through a checklist before I would get out of bed. I would wiggle the toes on my right foot, I would wiggle the toes on my left foot, I would lift my right leg, I'd lift my left, and I'd go through this checklist to make sure that everything was working the way it was working the night before when I went to bed. And I remember one morning I got up and I was going through my morning, routine and brushing my teeth. And as I was brushing my teeth and looking in the mirror, I realized it was the first day since my diagnosis that I didn't go through that checklist. And to me, that was that moment of acceptance and realizing that, okay, my life is now moving forward and I'm moving forward without having to always consciously be aware of the fact that I have MS. I mean, absolutely have it, certainly conscious and aware of it, but it's not, I can continue to move forward in maybe a different way, but I can always continue to move forward. And that was also when I realized I've got some, some guidance and information that I can share with other people. And also knowing that I had this really great network of support with friends and family and some of the people I've had met since my diagnosis in the MS community. And so I always wanted to be an advocate in two ways. One, for myself and for others as a sort of a guide or a mentor or whatever the case may be, but also as a fundraiser and somebody that can help, help elevate and push forward the goals of organizations like the MS Society and MSAA and MS for MS now.
Tell me about those first few times you did advocate outward of yourself and outward of friends, and that you got involved. How, for our listeners, did you become involved? For those maybe perhaps wanting to get involved.
Yeah, well, and like I said, my first outreach, like I think a lot of people's first outreach was to the MS Society, and as much as in, like I said, the information was a little dark and depressing, but that being said, the organization itself and the support that I got after that initial phone call was really amazing and really beneficial, putting me in touch with, various support groups and patient programs and educational programs, but putting me in touch with local MS centers to get, to find a MS specialist as opposed to just my general neurologist. And so there was just so much of a benefit that I just kept on digging deeper into the MS Society to the point where there was a, I think the first time I did anything with them, I was diagnosed in April 2004, and I wanted to do the MS walk shortly after my diagnosis, but it had already passed. So I didn't do one until 2005. But in between that period, there were a couple of patient programs that I went to. And then I was asked through just normal conversation and being involved, I was asked to speak at one of those newly diagnosed programs, and that I believe was really my first entry into this advocacy and trying to trying to help some other folks.
Can you tell people more about Walk MS? I too am a, I'm a, since the first year of my diagnosis, have been an active fundraiser. Even when I could no longer walk the course, I believe there are always ways to navigate and fundraise and have fun with it. But can you let our listeners know more about that?
Sure. I mean, I think, the things that the MS Society does for this community are amazing,
I
and the
agree.
funds that they raise and through Walk MS and Bike MS, which I guess are their two, signature largest events. I had seen Walk MS locally in my town, and so I knew that that was going on, and I just it seemed like an easy way to gather people, feel like a part of the community. And again, I was kind of an open book about my MS after I was diagnosed. And so I sent an email out when I started my first Walk MS team to, people I went to school with and friends and family. And it just kind of spiraled, and people were so supportive and so generous. And I did that. I haven't done Walk MS in a few years, since I've gotten involved with MS for MS. The years that I was actively a team captain and a fundraiser for the society were just incredibly beneficial, just from, not only from I guess a self-satisfaction perspective, but really from a community perspective. That was, to me, one of the greatest things about being involved in Walk MS for all those years was, kind of looking forward to that day and not just having my team there, but seeing all the different teams and all the orange balloons and all that stuff. So yeah, it was. I really, again, I've got a fairly long history with the MS Society and have, like you said in the intro, I've worked with them on a number of initiatives from the local level to the national level. And just super appreciative for their support early on in my diagnosis. And so, yeah, back to your question, specifically, I found Walk MS to just be the easiest way to get involved and then the easiest way to also get other people involved.
You bring up community, and it's such an integral part, I think, of all of us navigating this disease. Just going under the orange arch or being among the throng of orange with whatever affiliation or association or federation you're among, you feel a sense of camaraderie unlike any other. And to this day, it makes me tear up and emotional. There's nothing like being among those where you feel like you're empowering yourself and others. Michael, you bring up MS for MS. Tell me about that. I want to hear about that.
You know, and like I said in the blurb I sent you, I'm incredibly excited about this group of folks. They're, I got involved with MS for MS about 2.5, 3 years ago, and maybe even a little bit longer, 4 years ago. MS for MS was founded by a guy named Sam Greenberg, who is one of the just most genuine, nicest, amazing people I know. He started it in his senior year in college as a nod to his grandmother who had MS and passed away with complications and living with MS. And he was a baseball player in college, and he had this idea after school, before going into the work world, that he wanted to try and see a baseball game in every stadium in the country. And then while he was doing that, he's like, "Oh, if I'm going to do that, I may as well have it, raise money for something." And so he connected it with MS. And so that was the original brainchild of MS for MS. And he started small himself and just a couple of friends and built this organization around, awareness events. And they picked up the tagline "Spreading Orange." And so going back to the community, that's their tagline. It's Spreading Orange. And over the number, I think we're now in the 11th year of the organization, and has gone from a very small regional organization to a national organization with multiple events yearly, a wonderfully supportive and resourceful advisory board that I'm proud to be a part of. And we've also expanded from being a sports-centric nonprofit that raises awareness and money for MS and families impacted by MS to being a sports and entertainment-focused nonprofit. And so, that's one of the things that I'm trying to bring to MS for MS is I used to work in the music industry, so working on a benefit concert for this year for the organization, as well as some of the sporting events that we hold, which is part of our normal process. As a matter of fact, this weekend is Dunk MS, which is which is a part of our family now. Dunk MS, Blake and Sam had connected over the years, and Dunk MS is now a part of the MS for MS family. And this year, Dunk MS has blown up. I believe there are close to 1,000 tickets sold for the event. It's really become quite a beast of its own.
Can you tell our listeners about Dunk MS?
Yeah, so well, and again, going back, so Sam started MS for MS for his grandmother. Blake started Dunk MS for his mom, who was living with MS and passed away. Blake is a former UCLA basketball player. And had this idea to start Dunk MS, and Dunk MS, it's an incredible event that I've only been able to witness virtually. I'm hoping next year to be going to the event, but it's held at UCLA, at the pavilion there, and it is a day-long event that includes clinics for young kids to come in and get mentored and coached and taught by some college ball players and semi-pro basketball players, and then there is a professional dunker professional dunker event that is really the headline event of the day, where the videos that you see on YouTube of the people doing all the craziest dunks, they're all part of this event. And they come in for Blake, and they come in and they work with the kids and they entertain the kids. And I think this year we're also there's also a big basketball centric juggling routine that's going to be going on during the event. It's really it's just it's and so again, bringing us to this nationwide footprint, MS4MS was founded on the East Coast and had John Hopkins Medical Center MS Research as its main beneficiary. Dunk MS, starting in Los Angeles, had UCLA Health and their MS Center as main beneficiary. So now we have, put our brains and power and fundraising together to support both of those organizations. And then we also have a percentage of our funds each year that we set aside to donate to families in need. So families impacted by MS that need anything from, donated equipment, whether it's an electric chair, or they need. We've got somebody that we've been supporting in paying for their laundry to be done. So we just, however, we have people can apply for grants and send us their stories, and we would love to be able to help everybody, but we do as much as we can each year.
Thank you for that. How can our listeners find out more about MS4MS?
Absolutely. If you go to MS, the number four MS, so MS4MS.org, and everything's on our website, including all of our events, highlights and bios of all of our team members, and different ways to support the organization, whether it's financially or getting involved and volunteering at one of our local events.
I will also have in this episode's description a direct link to MS4MS to make it easier for our listeners to find you. I, for
Oh,
one,
that's great.
think
Thank you.
it's an amazing organization, and Dunk MS is about an hour north of me in Orange County. And as someone who loves sports and music, you had me at both. So I think if I could live with sports and music, I'd be happy.
I'm fairly similar in that regard.
Michael, I think it's easy for people to look at advocates or people who are active in the community as, oh, we have our stuff together. We don't navigate difficult times, difficult days. Would you, I know, are you laughing? I'm laughing. How do you navigate a more difficult day? Can you share some tactics?
I'm so glad you asked that question, and I'm so glad you framed it the way you did, because it's true. And sometimes, sometimes I kind of feel I can almost feel like a fraud in the sense that I've got these pictures on Instagram or on Facebook, and I'm this, I'm a strong guy. I'm with my family, or I'm working from the infusion center, and just everything's full speed ahead. I don't post any of the videos or posters of me, crying at the end of a day, because I can't lift something, or because I've dropped something for the 10th time, or whatever the case may be. So thank you for asking it and asking it the way you did. I think it's and I think it's important for people, basically based on what I just said, it's important to realize that everybody you're looking at online, those are
Highlight
curated snapshots.
reel.
Yeah, it's a curated, collection of photos and thoughts and feelings that people want you to see. And so I think it's important to just every I it's important to remind people not to judge yourself or your disease or your progress against what you see on social media. We all need to sort of look within and set our own goals and set our own landmarks and work towards those. The other thing I would say about how I cope and how I deal with some of some of the days that aren't the easiest. I'm fortunate to have a really strong support circle of people, and it wasn't always that way. It took a while to find that. And the other thing I think I'm really aware of is, I have a good support system. You know, my wife is incredibly supportive. My kids are really my stepkids. Everybody around me knows what I go through. They're very supportive, but I also realize that not everybody has that insular system. And so I think talking about the organizations that we were just talking about, MS for MS, the MSMA, MSAA, the National MS Society, they're all really great resources that almost can give you this built-in community. So you know, even if you know, and you know, I know there's so many people out there who are living alone, or who you know, who are maybe are elders in their own family, and don't have, whether it's a lot of living relatives or close by relatives, just realize that there are other resources for support and community out there. And you know, I think if you look at the silver lining of COVID, it taught us all that there. You know, with technology, there are so many ways for all of us to stay connected and have that community and sense of community, even if it's like we're doing right now through a screen, or through a podcast, or through a virtual support group. I think, you know, I would say that is the first or second most important thing for me in how I deal with BMS. The other thing that I think is 1A or 1B, depending on which one I look at, is more important on any given day. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about how a lot of us tend to put our medical professionals on a pedestal and just listen to anything they have to tell us. The one thing getting diagnosed with MS taught me was that it's so important for your relationship with the medical professionals to be two-way, and you need to be a vocal and strong advocate for yourself in those conversations. And you know, when it comes down to it, and this goes back to me and some of the confusion and conversations with doctors leading up to my diagnosis, don't ever second guess your ability to know your body. You know yourself better than your doctor knows you. Not to say you know more than your doctor about medicine, but you know yourself better. And I think it's important for all of us to find that doctor, those doctors that you can have a open and trusting relationship with, and that you're not afraid to share your feelings and question them. If you know if what they're telling you doesn't necessarily sit with you or feel right, you shouldn't be afraid to question those opinions. You know, and then, I mean, look, I've been through a couple of doctors since I was diagnosed, and not always for, you know, for bad reasons, but been through a few different doctors, and I think it's important to realize that, you know, second opinions are second opinions, and important for a reason. And you know, so again, and I'm sort of rambling at this point, but I would say that the two things I do to really try and manage this thing as best as possible is what I was talking about before with my community, but also making sure that my relationship with my doctor stays a healthy and two-way productive relationship.
I actually think those two tenets cannot be overstated, so I appreciate that. I always like to look at healthcare professionals as a partner, and they are my care team, and we're all equitable members. Myself is the captain, but I'm a captain, oh captain, that I will listen to other people.
That's so funny. But well, and I think a lot of us feel that way. But so one of the things, so I also early, well, not early on, but for quite a period while I was on Copaxone for a number of years after my diagnosis, and I ended up for a long time. I was part of the Shared Solutions community at Teva, and was one of the people that newly diagnosed patients would call. And I also ended up on their speakers bureau and would go around and talk at patient programs about my experience with their medication, not trying to sell it or anything, but just sharing my experience. And that was one of the things I always talk about was growing up playing sports, I tend to think about things as teams. And so I worked on forming my own MS team, and I was the captain. And we had, like you just said, you had team members, you had medical team members, you had family team members, and you needed to, I felt that I needed to really make sure everybody was on the same page within that team.
I love that. I think it speaks a lot to having our bases covered and also including our mental health, our physiological health, every aspect of health that is pertinent to our disease and our psychosocial health. Michael, as we close, what message would you like to leave our listeners? And I thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And as we were saying prior to the call starting, I've been listening to your podcast and following along. And I know we're connected on social media. And so I'm honored and look forward to being on again as a guest. And if you ever need a
Oh, you
regular
will
guest,
be.
I would love to do that. I think the one thing, and I'll leave this call or podcast with the same thing I leave people with when I speak to groups of patients. I just think as patients, it's we owe it to ourselves to be proactive, to take ownership of our disease, and to really try and do something every single day to put ourselves in a position to be successful. And I think, you know, if I drill down on each of those for a little bit, because I don't want to take up too much more of your time. And I know we've got time constraints on the podcast. So, but I will say that as far as, you know, taking ownership, people always ask me, what does that mean? And to me, it's what we were talking about before. I think we all take ownership in different ways. And for me, it was that moment of acceptance and feeling okay that I had MS. And I don't mean okay, like, yeah, great, okay, I've got MS, but okay in the sense that there is a path forward and there's a way to move forward and there are things that I can do for myself to move forward. And that, so for me, that's what taking ownership of it means. I live with this, it is this condition that is a part of me. And now I just need to figure out how to move forward with it the best way possible. And then that goes into the second piece of being proactive. You know, there's just, again, tying back to what we talked about in this call, there are so many resources for all of us living with MS out there, whether they are podcasts or, you know, organizations or just, you know, reaching out to somebody, a friend who has or had MS or knows somebody that there are just so many resources for all of us. And I think it's important for us to take advantage of those. You know, and I guess it, going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, I felt fortunate when I was diagnosed, even though there were only four medications available at the time, and really a lot of them were fairly similar to each other. I felt fortunate because I knew there were so many people before me that were diagnosed who never had the opportunity to take any medication. And so, you know, I just think it's important to understand where we're at with this disease, where we're at with the research on the disease, and take advantage of what's out there. Be proactive and find what you can to help yourself. And then the third piece kind of ties into that, doing something every single day to put yourself in the best possible place you can be. And again, it's different for everybody. It's not, you know, don't judge yourself on the Instagram account of the person with MS who's, you know, who's pulling buses with their teeth. It's, you know, I love that man and he is an incredible inspiration, but he's not me and I can't do that. But there are things that I can do every day to put myself in a place where I know I'm helping myself and living with this disease. And so that's what I would leave people with. Just take ownership, be proactive, and do something every day to put yourself in a good position.
I love that end message, and I can't think of a better way to end this podcast. Michael Weiss, thank you for joining us.
Jen, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you to our listeners at Multiple Sclerosis News Today. We will have more about Michael on this episode's description. Thank you to our listeners. This is the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast, and I am your host, Jen Powell. Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com.